flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Team WWL consists of Mike Hawes, Jeff Nowak, and me, Steve Geller. We're here at the Convention Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. And I forgot to say right at the start of the show, gentlemen, happy Saints Day.
It's Saints Day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, 15 years ago today.
Oh, I thought it was Ambush Day.
Well, same thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, same difference.
Won the Super Bowl.
We all celebrate our own in our own special
way. I've never heard of celebrating Ambush Day.
That's what I call it.
Really?
Because we can't do
it
anymore.
We can't even do Ambush anymore, right?
I remember watching that game. I was in college, I was at the house of a girl I was dating at the time.
Careful.
We have not dated for a long
time
since. And, like, most of the people at the party weren't even – this was up in Connecticut. We still live in Connecticut at this point. And, like, half the people at the party were, like, still coming back from the halftime show. They had no idea what was even going on. All of a sudden, I'm out there screaming, like, did you see that? And they were like, what? It's a kickoff. I'm like, no, it's not. And, that was a fun – I remember that game vividly. And I wasn't even here for it. Like, it was quite a thing. And I
had forgotten. Lucy Bustamante texted me, and she goes, it was, 15 years ago, because we were on Channel 4, we were all down there, for weeks. I forgot about it. Because the day before, Newell and I talked about this earlier, that we had an election, not a small election, a mayoral election.
Yeah.
The night before, on February 6th was the election. I was like, my gosh, man, it was crazy.
Going to check in on our virtual treasure chest casino power seat. Jeff, I know you talked to Packers running backs.
Sure did.
A.J. Dillon and Josh Jacobs. They were here representing Bounty Paper Towels.
Oh, yeah. Company men. We've been on radio all week, so we've kind of become desensitized to it. But Bounty Paper Towels has been here handing out thousands and thousands of wings.
Heavy duty major sponsorship.
Big name players coming in every day. Gronk was here. Who they're repping because they have these bright green jackets. It's not like a Masters thing or anything. Like, it is a very much a paper towel themed jacket. Kind of weird, but appreciate the access.
Definitely appreciate all the wings they've been providing for us too.
Yes, I've had more than my fair share. But it was cool to get to talk to Josh and AJ. AJ, he missed the entire season with a neck injury, so it's kind of weird for him. And Josh, and we can talk more about this on the back end. A lot of running backs did not get a lot of respect last offseason.
And Josh was one of them for sure.
That's why Saquon is on the Eagles. That's why Josh Jacobs is on the Packers. That's why Derrick Henry is on the Raiders. Well, that's a little different because Derrick Henry, I probably wasn't going back to the Titans either way. But, I think these guys delivered in a big way this year. And, I think if that scenario happens again where you get this massive influx of free agents into the running back market, it's going to be more of a bidding war than it was this past year, because I think the Packers stole Josh Jacobs. I think the Eagles stole Saquon Barkley. I think the Ravens stole Derrick Henry. And so we'll see how that goes.
Josh Jacobs, A.J. Dillon on the virtual treasure chest casino power seat with Jeff Nowak. Here it is.
All right, Jeff Nowak here with WWL Radio, hanging out at the Bounty House of Wingman. A lot of green going on here. Got Packers running backs, Josh Jacobs and A.J. Dillon. A.J., I do have to say, I've always felt a connection to you because I grew up in Windham, Connecticut, and I know you grew up in New London. How has that been going from New London, Connecticut, all the way up to Green Bay, Wisconsin?
I would say, honestly, you know, I spent a lot of time in Massachusetts. I went to Boston College. I went to prep school out in Mass. So one of the first things when I got to Green Bay, I went up to Door County. Everybody jokes like I'm the mayor up there. And it kind of reminded me of home in a little bit. So I was like, all right, like I can get down with this. I like the slow pace of lifestyle. It's not too much, not too many distractions in Green Bay. It's kind of chill and you get to know everybody. So I enjoy it. Small town community type of thing.
New Orleans gets that kind of vibe too, of like it's a city, but it's almost like a small town city. Almost like it reminds me of Boston a little bit with you know more gumbo and you know drinking in the streets and stuff. How have you enjoyed the vibe down here?
I've enjoyed the vibe. We got in yesterday morning, and me and my wife, we did like the little walk down Bourbon Street, had dinner with some friends, and had a drink or two, you know, to finish it out. And you know, it was really cool. One of the drinks spilled, and they had Bounty on site. And so I grabbed the Bounty, and I reminded them, the couple next door, they were having wings. I said, "You can't have football without wings." And Josh popped up from behind the counter, and he finished it for me.
And you can't have wings without Bounty.
So, hey, it's great to have Bounty down here, and it's great to have the Wingman on set in New Orleans.
Company man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. yeah, how did you get set up with this? You know, what all is going on here?
Yeah, man, I mean, you know, with the Super Bowl coming up, wings, pizza, all of these type of things are, you know, where people are eating. So we know that you have to have Bounty's paper towels to be able to clean up any kind of mess. So that's kind of really how we got into it.
You know, yeah, Super Bowl's coming up. You know, I feel like last year running backs were kind of the talk of the town in terms of not getting a lot of respect, right? Like the offseason, a lot of running backs hit free agency, and everyone's talking about, okay, is it worth dropping that contract on a running back? And, you know, you went up to Green Bay and balled out. Saquon obviously went to Philadelphia and balled out. And do you feel like, you know, this season, Derrick Henry is another example, even Aaron going over to Minnesota, Aaron Jones, do you feel like y'all made a statement, like the running back position in general made a statement in terms of how the NFL should view that position?
I think that, you know, a lot of these games, in order to win a game, you kind of have to establish the run, and you have to, because it opens up everything else. So you have to respect it, and a lot of guys took advantage of that this year. A lot of guys, like I can name probably 10 to 15 guys that really just balled this year, and I think it's great for the running back market.
Yeah, like, kind of like what Josh said, you really need to be able to run the ball to really be successful and really be that great team. You look at a lot of the playoff teams, and they got great running backs in that room. Even, you know, hate to mention it, but like the Lions and the tandem that they got, there's something about being able to just kind of like dominate the line of scrimmage and just run, and that kind of helps you late into the season. So I think going forward, people are going to recognize that running backs are game changers. They can help you win.
Gotcha. And, you know, AJ, I know you dealt with the injury this season. First of all, how are you feeling? And second, you know, you two as a pairing, you know, because we didn't really get to see that this year. How do you feel like that's gonna change things maybe on offense for the Packers in general?
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm feeling all good. Obviously, I've never been out for a season ever or anything like that. So I didn't really know how to, you know, approach it all. But it was good. And Packers are great, you know, just, you know, being able to get in there and work out and stuff like that. So I'm feeling good, looking forward to next season. And, you know, if I'm back there running with Josh, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, man, I mean, coming in, I would say AJ helped me a lot coming in. You know, he's one of them guys is very, very intelligent, knows the playbook, you know, top to bottom. You know, and he was willing to help all the guys. We had a lot of young guys in there, and obviously me being new. So I would say he played a pivotal role too, and you know, in getting me ready for, you know, the season and things like that. Obviously we didn't get to play together, but hopefully we can, man. I think that we'd be a crazy 1-2 punch.
You know, and Josh, I know you're a Southern guy. I don't know if you're paying attention. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we got a snowstorm. We got a snowstorm down. It's like 8 inches of snow. So I am curious. Yeah, you know, going from, you know, you're a Southern guy going up to Wisconsin, yeah, was kind of a shock to the system. Because even in Vegas, obviously you weren't dealing with cold. How was that this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I ain't gonna lie, it wasn't too bad. It didn't really snow that much in Green Bay this year. Maybe like two or three times. So like, and it wasn't like real heavy snow. Like I think one day it snowed the night, and then in the morning it was like by the evening it was gone. But the cold weather, man, I like the cold. I'm one of them guys that's like, I'm naturally just like run hot. So like the cold don't really bother me too much. And it wasn't really that wet. So I'm like, I don't really like the wet cold, but it wasn't too bad.
If you stay there long enough, I have a feeling you're gonna encounter that.
He did miss the negative 20 degree week. I was thinking about it is like if the Packers, if we went another round, we'd have had a game,
yeah,
or something like that. And it's like, imagine we had a game. It was like negative 30 with the wind chill. It's like, imagine we had a playoff game right now. Whew, it'd have been brilliant.
Yeah, I was up there for, I think it was week 16, that Monday night game. And I was like, we got two digits on the temperature line. That's a win. It's a win in December. But all right, y'all, thanks so much for the time. Josh Jacobs, AJ Dillon, take care of yourselves.
Appreciate it, man.
Good stuff, Jeff. And Josh Jacobs, for me, was definitely one of those fantasy football studs for me all season long.
It's so wild to me that the Raiders just let him walk out the door. Like, he's been so good and so consistent and so physical. And, you know, that's what you want your offense to be. You want the tone. You want to be the tone setter. And the Packers were able to just be like, all right, yeah, we'll add him to our offense. And they didn't have A.J. Dillon. Like, that's going to be the tandem we talk about next year. I mean,
like the Lions had
David Montgomery
punch, right?
And Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, that's that type of tandem. And I think people forget, like, A.J. Dillon's legit. No, I think that running back tandem is going to, you know, we saw Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram. I remember Brandon Jacobs, Derek Ward. You know, a lot of that used to be the thing. And then he kind of got away from it a little bit. I think that's going to come back, is that legit running back tandem.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk from running backs. We're going to hear from a wide receiver, Saints wide receiver Bub Means, when we get back right after the break here on WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak and sitting in with Saints wide receiver Bub Means. Bub, how you been doing?
I'm doing great. How about y'all, man?
We're doing fantastic. You know, rookie season here in New Orleans, and right away you get to be a part of the madness of a Super Bowl in town. I know obviously you'd rather be playing in the game, but what's it been like experiencing this whole festivities going on in the city right now?
It's been hectic. I know
you're busy.
Yeah, it's been real busy week, man. Eventful week, but I can't complain, man. It's a lot of love out here. It's a lot of support. It's a lot of great people, man. And the Super Bowl just brought everybody out, man. They brought everybody out to the city, and it just looks great to have all these people in New Orleans.
You know, I felt like you're really coming along in that rookie season, and the ankle in LA really set you back. First of all, how is that ankle doing? Are you back to 100%? And, you know, how do you feel about those games, those few games you had with that opportunity with Spencer and, you know, the offense?
First, yes, my ankle, I got cleared not too long ago. I got
awesome.
Cleared like a week and a half ago.
Nice.
And two, I feel like I got an opportunity to showcase my talents a little bit. I didn't get to showcase everything, but I got an opportunity to showcase what I could do. And I gave them a glimpse of what is in store and what I can, you feel what I'm saying, bring to the team next year. So I can't wait to get out there, new coaches, new system. Let's see what happens.
That's the big buzz right now, obviously, new head coach.
Yeah.
And it's hard to even think of what this Saints offense is going to be like next year and who's even going to be around. But I guess what is something you're looking for in your sophomore season in the NFL?
I'm just looking forward to more opportunities.
Like, yeah.
All I need is another more opportunities. You see what I can do with the little opportunities I got. So, like, I'm excited to see what I can do with more opportunities, get it granted, either special teams, on the field, however I got to get on the field to contribute to wins, that's what I want to do.
Hoodats are excited to see you too, for sure.
Yes, sir.
You know, Bub, you know, something we talked about in the preseason and we saw it kind of develop is you and Spencer Rattler, seemed that there was a connection there. What were your thoughts on how he finished out the season and then kind of that second run? Obviously, you would love to be a part of it, but did you feel like he took a step forward leading that room as a quarterback?
Yeah, I feel like just watching Spence from when we got drafted to rookie minicamp OTAs, just through the whole process, Spence has just kept improving, kept getting better, mentally, physically, he always had the game. Like, physically, he's talent through the roof. But mentally, I feel like he just keeps getting better and better and better, and he's developing to what we gonna see, what I think is gonna be a great quarterback. He's gonna have a great career. But I feel like the first few games he showed, okay, he was getting comfortable, and now, like, after he got another chance, it was like, okay, now, like, I'm comfortable. I'm getting my feet wet. I can play my game a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm excited to see what Spence gonna do next year.
Looking at Sunday's game, putting you now in the analyst role, what do you think about this matchup between the Chiefs and the Eagles?
Oh, it's gonna be a great game. I feel like it's a game of a high flying, high scoring, fast, like, big play offense with the Chiefs, and a ferocious, crazy physical defense with the Eagles. So, like, it's gonna be great. I can't wait to watch the game.
I know you guys got to play both of those squads this year.
Both of them. You feel what I'm saying? So I know firsthand that. It's gonna be a great matchup, in my opinion. Like, they match up pretty smooth.
Yeah, that matchup against Philly really looked like a bruiser.
Yeah.
Definitely appreciate the time, Bub. I know you got tons to do. Appreciate you stopping by here, WWL Saints Radio. Have a good one and enjoy the rest of the Super Bowl weekend.
Appreciate y'all for having me, man.
Thanks, Bub.
Appreciate you.
Saints wide receiver Bub Means, a shortened rookie season, the fifth round pick out of Pitt, just 9 receptions, 118 yards and a touchdown. Unfortunately, an injury sidelined him early on.
Mid-season, really, but yeah. he wasn't there early on because you had the other receivers healthy. And then That's honestly one of my bigger disappointments for the second half of the season, is it would have been really nice to see him and Spencer Rattler kind of continue to build that connection, because I think it existed. I think they built something during training camp, and you saw it kind of in that early run with Spencer in that starting role, and you never got to see it that second time around. But I think Bub's a good receiver. I think he can develop going into year two. He's a big guy. He's physical. Right. He can block on the edge. I'm rooting for him. He has a good mentality. He's an easy guy to root for.
We're taking a break here on WWL Sports Talk. We're at the Host Committee's Media Center Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Taking a break and be back with our next guest breaking down the Kansas City Chiefs right after this on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, helping us break down the big game. Going to get the Kansas City perspective. Todd Lebo, VP of Sports Operations at Sports Radio 810 WHB in KC, joins us now. Todd, thanks so much for the time. How you been enjoying the city, man?
Oh, I've enjoyed it a lot. I've left the convention center, though, so I'm done. I've done my radio row. I'm glad you guys are still there, but I spent many hours in there. Had a great time with it. But now, unfortunately, I'll give you a little New Orleans insight here. You guys can help me a little bit. When we booked some hotels early on, I was actually at the Eagles Hotel in the Hilton, right down there by the convention center. It was great, right? And then, you know, the rates went up. We booked it, you know, not through the league. And now I'm in a media overflow hotel. I don't know about this one. I hope I'm alive. It's a Ramada out here, and it's interesting. It's
where
interesting
are you?
Off,
are you in New Orleans, or are you out in the suburbs?
It's Metairie.
You'll be fine at Metairie.
You'll be fine.
It's fine.
Well, I'm rooting for you.
Go to Drago's. You're close to Drago's. Yeah. You can go to Drago's and tell Tommy to take care of it.
It's a media overflow. It's through the league, right? So it's fine. And there are, I must have seen 20 guys. I just got here about an hour ago. 20 guys who are working security, like tactical gear guys. They're staying here, so I'm good, right?
Okay. There you go.
So I've been telling people the convention center, and you could probably attest to this. It's kind of like you go to a casino, and they don't have any windows or clocks. And you kind of lose track of, like, what time of day it is, and suddenly you look up, and you're like, I've been here for 10 hours. What's going on? Yeah. Have you kind of had that experience?
Dark when I got there, dark when I left.
Right,
a couple times.
Yeah, right.
For sure. Got a lot of steps in, though, a lot of steps. Big convention center. Walked the whole thing a bunch of times.
Yep.
It's great.
No question. Yeah, you can walk off all the beer that is necessary to consume. Todd, so, you know, Super Bowls have become kind of just an expected occurrence for the Chiefs over the last 3 years. It's like, hey, okay, we have the full run. It's week one. We are not going to be done for a long, long, long time. Is it difficult? Does it become kind of expected? Is it, if you lose in the AFC Championship with Pat Mahomes, it's like, what a failure. Right? Has that been difficult for the Chiefs to battle against in terms of complacency? I feel like those Patriots teams, it kind of became expected after a while. I'm just curious how that's kind of resonated within the Chiefs fan base.
How about this? The Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes have lost two AFC Championship games at home in this run, which is like, that's disappointing and gross, right? You had two AFC championship games at home and you lost them. Now they won a bunch of others and made it to the Super Bowl, but they have had some little disappointments, I guess, in the playoffs. What we've told everybody, and it's hard to do, we went through this. There's a lot of Kansas Jayhawks basketball fans around us, obviously, and they won like 13 straight Big 12 championships. But then, you know, for them, it was like, do you make the Final Four? Do you win it? You have to enjoy the ride. You have to enjoy, even though I don't like Kansas, going to Allen Fieldhouse and winning games and doing that. You have to enjoy watching Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones and these guys play against, you know, fill in the blank. The Saints came to Arrowhead this year, right? And played on Monday Night Football. You have to enjoy those things. So fans do get a little complacent and just say, get me to January and February. I don't get the feeling the players are really that way. You know, Travis Kelce made a kind of a joke about it a few weeks ago back in Kansas City. He's a veteran guy. He was kind of like, hey, let's get there and turn this thing up. But the younger players, I don't think they're there yet. And it's really a lot about the culture that Andy Reid has built, that they take it one game at a time. And it's so boring and so cliche, but his system works and he's got his best players bought into it. So they really do grind the season out and don't look forward enough the way fans certainly do, or the way we have to do, to plan out, all right, are you going to buy this here to airline tickets and da 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 and all that stuff. They don't have to worry about that logistical stuff. But yeah, there's a bunch of spoiled fans who are way younger than me who think this is just what it is. And it ain't just what it is. I promise you that.
We've been there.
Yeah, yeah,
we dealt with that in 13 and 3. They're like, can we just get to the postseason?
Yeah.
So I guess, and that was kind of where I was heading, because I don't understand. I take it back. I do understand why people don't want Kansas City. Whatever. I don't forget the Super Bowls. And Steve and Jeff have heard me say this. Celebrate the fact that this team has made it to 7 straight AFC championship games. Prior to Mahomes arriving in 2017, Kansas City had made 3 in their entire existence. Now they've made 7 straight. So I just feel like that is something amazing. New England made 8 straight. The Saints have only had 3 championship game appearances. My point is, it's hard. Do they lean into it? Like, they know they're kind of the villains. I don't know why they are, but they are. And so are they leaning into it, or how are they looking at it?
Oh, they like to be the bad guy, I think. But it's pretty funny. They're very good at saying the right things at the podiums, right? Patrick Mahomes is brilliant at it, okay? And he admits it. He's been on podcasts where he says, well, I'll talk for 28 seconds. I won't say anything. He's good at it, right? So, but you'll see, like, last year, the big knock was, well, the Chiefs have never won a playoff game on the road because they had all the home games. And then last year, there was some locker room video of him, you know, after they'd won in Baltimore, saying they wanted it. They wanted us on the road. They got it. You know what I mean? So they are driven by it for sure, but they won't sit there and say it on the podium. And we've asked the villain question, you know, 10 ways to every player in the last, like, probably month or so, when it's really kind of been that, like, you know, overload on people don't like the Chiefs. And they're all pretty good at not saying it. I promise you, in their little meetings, they're talking about it. You know, they're like, You think they don't like us? Let's go win it and shove it in their face. So they get motivated by those things, but they're pretty good. Andy Reid, he doesn't let these guys get loose and talk too much and say too many silly things. You know, I mean, Travis Kelce may say some things on his podcast that he certainly wouldn't say in front of a podium or something, but they got a pretty tight rein on these guys. You have to earn that trust from him to be able to say that stuff Travis says on a podcast.
I look at the Saints game as somewhat of a microcosm, at least for Kansas City, maybe for the Saints too, but I'm thinking more about Kansas City. So it's Monday night, week 5, and fourth quarter, Saints score, Foster Moreau, and extra point makes it 16-14. I mean, it is a football game, right? If you just look at the final, you go, 26-13, you know, Kansas City, you know, wins by 13. But it just feels like there were so many games like that for Kansas City. I mean, they missed the extra pointer. If not, that's 16-14, fourth quarter. Could go a lot of different ways. They've always seemed to find a way, but there were a lot of teams like the Saints that were right there, didn't end up doing it, and it just feels like for Kansas City, that was kind of a microcosm for them.
It really was, and, you know, it wasn't like, you know, a lot of times you know, the defense will pull something out of the hat, or the offense has to come make a play or do something. This team, it was everybody. You know, we all remember the blocked field goal to beat the Broncos. You know, and that wasn't some lucky thing. They worked on that. But if you have a blocked field goal to win a game, and then you have a lucky thing like when the Raiders snapped the ball off Aiden O'Connell's chest because he wasn't paying attention, that's a lucky thing. And then you might have, you know, Mahomes goes down and scores a touchdown in overtime against the Bucks when they won the coin toss. And you're like, well, that's how that goes. Same thing, they played a game against Carolina where, you know, they were kind of sleepwalking in Carolina, had about 3 or 4 weeks where they were pretty good, right? Where they were playing people tough. You guys saw that. And they looked like a team that's on the rise. And they had to go down there and make a drive late to win the game. One of the most amazing things about this team, it'll get talked about sometime in the 85-hour pregame show on Fox on Sunday, but they have had 3 kickers kick game-winning kicks for this team this year. That's insane. They're pulling people off the street, and, oh, by the way, you have to go make this kick, and you've never done this in the NFL, and you have to do that. You get Harrison Butker making kicks to win games, but they've had 3 different people do it. So, yeah, they're definitely dipped in it. And how long will this run go? They only care this year if it goes one more game, right? Because if you've done all this work and they don't win, they're going to be devastated. Now, my thought is, how can you be devastated if you won the last 2 Super Bowls? You know what I mean? But when you make the journey this far, you want to finish it. You don't want to get and do all this work and have everybody hate you and go through all the injuries and do all the stuff and blah, 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 and then fail at the end. So that'll be the drama we have on Sunday.
With this Chiefs team, it just seems no matter what you do, they're always able to one-up another team. But if you looked at it and had to break things down, either offensive or defensively, what would you say is maybe a weakness of Kansas City?
Well, they've had some spots this year where they've given up yards late and scores late. I mentioned that the Carolina game. They wouldn't have had to go down and kick the field goal if they would have stopped Carolina, you know, and gotten the ball back in the fourth quarter. So, listen, Philadelphia is ultra-talented, and the Chiefs have not done a good job this year at tight end, defending tight ends, lots of big numbers from tight ends. So that's an area where a lot of people think Philadelphia can move the ball. They generally do it with their wide receivers and obviously Saquon Barkley. But that's a vulnerability for sure. What they've had to do at left tackle on the other side of the ball, you know, with Joe Tooney moving out and playing, and he's playing fine. You know, he's not great, but he's playing fine. You know, when they lost the Super Bowl to Tampa, they had all kinds of offensive line issues and they had a bunch of guys hurt. And Patrick Mahomes spent the whole day running for his life and because Tampa had a great front and, you know, they lost that game badly. So if Tooney can't do the job against a very good front, then that could be an issue for them there. So those are the things. But listen, that Tampa game, he threw some of the best passes you ever saw in your life. They also got dropped. So Mahomes will rise to the occasion, I think, but this will not be easy because the big difference between this game and the game 2 years ago, Saquon Barkley was not on the Eagles, and he is a game wrecker and a home run hitter. And one of the keys I have for the game is just don't let him have one of those. You know, get your yards here. If it's the 20-yard game, that's fine, but the 60 and 70-yarders will kill you.
You know, Todd, I hate to even kind of dignify this with the conversation, but it's become so loud that you have to have the conversation, you know, and it comes down to the officiating. And there's this idea that the Chiefs are getting a favorable whistle and whatever, the statistics are the statistics and you know, the fourth down, the quarterback sneak. And I think it's lazy analysis to look at this team and be like, oh, yeah, they're getting all the calls. What is your response to that? Because it's becoming louder and louder and louder, and there's always been this call for like, oh, well, we need to fix the officiating. Now that there's gambling involved, it's got a whole other subplot, another level to it. I'm just curious what your reaction to that conversation is.
Yeah, it's pretty silly because it seems with this many crews, right? There was an actual NBA officiating issue with one guy who was gambling on his own. And, you know, there's only a few officials in the NBA game. It's a smaller field. You can do things with it. So I could see something like that happening there. But, you know, the NFL officials put out a statement today, you know, they have 17 games and 138 crews, blah, blah, blah. How could they all be somehow in this matrix of lies to have something happen for this team? It is pretty laughable. I think what happens is the Chiefs are on TV in the big games all the time. So we see the games more. They're the big games. Was that Josh Allen sneak close? Yeah, I think it was close. But I was in the press box. We had a pretty good, we were right on the line of it. And I watched the game, the snap, at least through binoculars. And I thought they stopped him, you know. And but the part of the point is, listen, you only got to go 6 inches. Get a foot. I mean, if he got 8 inches, then all right, maybe he got a first down. But the hardest part, I think one of the, and they're going to try to fix this. I don't know if you can fix it with a chip in the ball or whatever. But if you're going to run the sneak, you are putting yourself at risk to get a bad spot. They don't make bad spots on the sideline when no one's around. They can easily replay that and see it. But if you're going to have, you know, there's 22 guys in the field, but let's say 18 or 19 of them are right there within 5 feet of each other one way to the other and 25 feet the other way, it's nearly impossible for the officials to see that from where they're standing. So if you don't want to run the risk of that, run a different play, you know. But I don't think there's any conspiracy to help the Chiefs win, because why would you want to help this little town in the middle of America win? There should be conspiracies for the Chargers to win.
Help us. We're a little town in the South.
Yes. Help these poor little people down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, it
don't
is
give us Bill
silly.
Vinovich. Sorry. I'm not quite over 2018 yet. Sorry.
I'm not either, because I was watching that game at Arrowhead waiting for the Patriots and Chiefs to play, and I was going to be so excited to have the Saints and the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl. It was going to be great, and then they both lost. So
yep.
There you go.
Question for you about one of the former players that's now became a New Orleans Saint this year, with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Just curious, what happened to him over there? Because he seemed to start out his career with a lot of promise, and it just didn't work out in the end, and now he's moved on here, hoping that maybe some home cooking helps reinvigorate his career.
Yeah, I love Clyde. I thought he was a great teammate, and you know, he talked openly about his PTSD from the incident, where the shooting in Baton Rouge when he was in college. And, you know, I can't put myself in his shoes and know how that was going to affect me. He's a young man, right? And he had some real mental issues about that. And it's interesting because a lot of these guys don't talk about that stuff. And he was very open about it. He talked about it for, gosh, 10, 15 minutes at training camp this year. And I think they really liked him, because this can be a cruel business. They could have just cut him and say, we don't want you around. But I think they knew he was struggling a little bit. And I think they felt that the best thing for him was to be in the Chiefs locker room. But I also think they loved him, because I'll tell you a story. Isaiah Pacheco was, you know, kind of took Clyde's job last year, and or 2 years ago, right? 2 years ago, he was a rookie, and Clyde was, they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it was before the half. This wasn't the playoff game where they played him. It was before the half, and Pacheco fumbled. And Clyde wasn't dressed that day. The first person to meet him on the sideline was Clyde, looked him right in the eye. And so I asked Pacheco about that later. And he's just like, yeah, he's just telling me to keep believing myself and all that. And what kind of guy who lost his job to a seventh round rookie is going to be out there telling him to keep his head up? So that's what they liked about him. And I think that's why he stuck around. I hope he's mentally in the right place, and maybe coming back home will be good for him, and he'll get a chance to be successful, because there were high hopes for him when he got drafted. Thought he was going to be a little gadget, right, for Andy Reid to play with. And I hope he has more in his career, because I do think he's a really good-hearted kid.
Todd, definitely appreciate your time. Hope you enjoy the rest of the time in the city and enjoy the game, obviously, Sunday.
Hopefully it'll be a win, because although I don't root, I don't like to go into losing locker rooms. So
I hear you.
I'm hearing you,
I root
baby.
For fun, you know. I root for fun, and I root for our listeners in Kansas City to be happy.
Great stuff, Todd. Appreciate you, man. Have a good one.
All right, let me know anytime.
Thanks, Todd.
Todd Lebo, VP of Sports Operations at Sports Radio 810 WHB in KC, joining us on the virtual Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat. Taking a break here on Sports Talk, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Everybody, keep it locked on to WWL as we celebrate the final hours of Big Game Week in New Orleans. We're broadcasting live from Radio Row in the Convention Center at the Host Committee's Media Center, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Soso. You can hear some some stuff in the background that's like a construction crew's breaking it all down. It's kind of like watching the footage going on of the breakdown, and we're just seeing the stages get taken down.
Turn those machines back on.
Different
Turn
stations,
those lights back
banners
on.
Getting taken down, scaffolding being unassembled. The whole process is being quite amusing to watch here, and just trying to feed off this vibe going into the work on Sunday. So looking forward to being in the Superdome and seeing all of it in its glory right now. And I know it's got to look prime and pristine, ready for this matchup.
And nobody's been in there, right? Since opening night?
No, Jeff has, actually. Since media night, he was there.
Right.
Coming back with more sports talk after this. Back after news, right on WWL.